The reality is those who don't know Christ, every thought has nothing to do with God. It has to do with yourself, right? That's what it is. What we think about really is an indication of who we really are. So as he thinks, so he is. Now today we're going to see if we're believers, we should have a different mindset.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, why is thinking biblically so important?
You know, Dave, the Christian life is about right thinking. It's about not being conformed to this world, but transformed through the renewing of our minds. How we think about our circumstances, what we dwell on, what we allow in our minds really does direct the course of our lives. And so understanding how to think biblically is an essential and primary element of following Jesus Christ. Our text today is Philippians chapter 4, and the Apostle Paul will outline for us what biblical thinking looks like.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Well, you might notice in your bulletins there's an outline, and the title of the message today is, What Are You Thinking About? And I could ask you that question right now. What are you thinking about? You know, there's an old saying that says, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a life. The reality is, what we think about really does then move towards what we do and who we are. There's a proverb, that portion of it, in Proverbs 23:7, that says, so as he thinks within himself, so he is. You see, our thinking really brings about where our actions are at. In Psalm 10, concerning the non-believer, concerning those who have rejected the Lord, we see the thoughts of them. Psalm 10, verse 1, why dost thou stand afar, O Lord? Why dost thou hide thyself in time of trouble? In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots they have devised, for the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. The wicked in the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. The reality is those who don't know Christ, every thought has nothing to do with God. It has to do with me, not me, but you know, yourself, right? That's what it is. What we think about really is an indication of who we really are. So as he thinks, so he is. Now today we're going to see if we're believers, we should have a different mindset. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, he gives us his spirit and the ability to think differently, to have our thoughts changed that they would be in line with what God says. But yet that's a continual battle throughout the day. You see, I battle every day. I get tempted about this or that or get distracted. And God wants us to apply his truth to our thought life that we would then manifest his character in our lives. So today we're going to see the mindset of a heavenly citizen as we address the question, what are we thinking about? Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And we are rapidly coming to a close in our study in the book of Philippians. So I'm going to remind us of the context of the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul is writing the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. These are believers in Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony. And we have here that Paul was actually writing from Rome, in which he was imprisoned for preaching the gospel. Now this letter is one of his four prison epistles, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Philemon, most likely written 10 years after the church had come to faith, around 62 AD. Now he has already lovingly prayed for this church, desiring them to grow in their love and discernment in the context of right knowledge in Christ. And he has shared his love and has been thankful for God's past work in this church. And he knew and declares that he who began that good work will complete it in Christ Jesus. And in chapter 1, he shared his circumstances, that although he is imprisoned, the Apostle Paul, the gospel isn't. And then he shared his attitude. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And that in all the difficulties that he was going through, he desired that Christ would be magnified. And then he began to address the Philippians' attitudes. And he made it clear that they were to stand firm in the gospel against opposition, to be united, to be humble. They were to be like Jesus. They were to have the mind of Christ. Then after giving the perfect example of humility, Jesus Christ, who humbled himself being obedient to the point of death, death on a cross, we see that he was exalted to his rightful place, back to where he rightfully deserves to be as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thus, Christ being Lord of all, Paul gave believers some commands that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You see, God works in us through his word by his spirit, changes in our thinking, changes in our attitudes, and that is to work out in our behavior. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in us. And then we had the first command, do all things without complaining and arguing. That's a big one, right? Because that's what the world does. That's what we're tempted to do all the time. But as believers, we shine as lights in the world. We hold forth the word. And so we're to do all things without complaining and arguing. And then within that, he gave three examples of those who exemplify the mind of Christ. One, himself, and then Timothy, and then Epaphroditus. And then in chapter 3, he revealed that we would face opposition to the gospel. There would be fakers. There would be make-believers. Those who really don't know the Lord. Those who ultimately glory in self, rely on their own flesh, and trust in themselves in a sense. We see the Apostle Paul basically said, if anyone had a right to trust in the flesh, hey, it was me before I came to Christ. And he shared all his qualifications as a religious guy. And he said he considered all of that stuff as refuse compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord, for whom he has suffered the loss of all things. And then we saw the mindset of the Apostle Paul, which was to press forward, not looking back, press on to that upward call in Christ Jesus. Because if you have been saved, if you're a Christian, God is taking you unto himself. We're on our way to eternity, and he's changing us moment by moment, making us more like his son Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul says, one thing I do, I press forward, forgetting what lies behind. And then he encouraged believers and commanded them to mimic him in that, to mimic his faith, to be like Paul in that and others, because those who aren't like that are on their way to destruction. Those who set their mind on earthly things are on their road to destruction. They haven't been saved. And so we came to chapter 4, credible statement, to stand firm in the Lord. Therefore, stand firm in him. And we saw that there was two women in this church that were at odds. And we saw how they were to get right with one another. They were to be like-minded, to be harmonious. They were to think like Christ. Think of others as more important than themselves. And then we saw last week a very important passage. And if you weren't here last week, I'd encourage you to grab the CD on the way out. How to overcome worry. You see, if you think about it, there's much to be worried about. If you think about it, there's a lot to be worried about, right? The reality is this life isn't certain, and there are difficulties that come upon us left and right. There are things that happen to us. There's unknowns, whatever it might be. There are people that might be against us. Whatever it is, there's a lot to worry about. But we saw how to overcome worry. And the first thing was that we are to be, as believers, rejoicing in the Lord. You see, when we look at who Jesus is and what he has done for us, that he has saved us from our sinfulness, that he has brought salvation from sins, wretched men and women forgiven through Christ who died on the cross for us, that should bring us joy, and we should rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. He said, again, I say rejoice. And then he said, let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men. Let it go forth, in a sense, your gentle yielding. You see, you don't have to have your rights. You don't need to hold to things right now. Christ will defend you. God is on your side if you're a Christian. Let it be known to all men. The Lord is near. He's near to those who are his. Trust him. And then we came to the portion in which we have the direct commands concerning anxiety. Verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Tremendous passage. You see, we saw last time that worry is really a horrible sin because it attacks the core of our relationship with Jesus, if he's your Savior. You see, because if you have Jesus as your Savior, you came to a relationship by faith. You believed that you were a sinner and needed salvation, and you trusted in Jesus Christ. And now we walk by faith, not by sight. And if I am worrying, I'm not trusting. It comes right in the way of my relationship with a great God who gave himself for me. And so we saw last time, we are not to be anxious about anything, but that's kind of hard, right? Just to turn off that switch? No, it doesn't work, right? We have to take those things to the Lord instead. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. Everything that's come across you, all your concerns, all your difficulties, bring them before the Lord. Pray about everything. And notice he says, when everything by prayer and supplication, that's a gentle yielding. He's God, we're not, right? It's a humble prayer. With thanksgiving, thank you, O God, although these troubles are great, although I don't know what I'm going to do. You're a gracious God. You're a good God. You gave yourself for me, and I know you're working all things together for good. I know you are. Thank you, Lord God. And it says, make your request known to God. And then there's a promise, a tremendous promise. Because when you're worried, what do you need? You need peace, don't you? Because you don't have peace when you're worried, right? You sure don't. I don't. When I'm sinning and worrying, I don't have any peace at all. But the promise is, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses or is way above all comprehension, all thinking, you could never think of peace this much, that's this great, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when you bring your request to God, rather than worrying about it, when you bring those concerns to him, you cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. When you do it in a humble way, trusting and knowing who he is, when you're thankful for what he's done for you, and you make that request, Lord God, I don't know what's going on, but please help me here. Help me see it from your perspective, not from mine. Lord God, help me get through this difficulty. You know what? He says his peace shall guard your hearts and minds. Garrison, the term guard spoke of a military garrison, a guard of soldiers, guarding your thinking, guarding your hearts. And that's what we need. And so if you are a warrior and you're a believer, there is hope for you because God tells us what to do, not to sin, but to pray instead, but to pray instead. And it's a battle. It's a battle every day to trust the Lord rather than to worry. It's a battle every day, but it's the good fight of faith. It's a good battle. So with that in mind, we come to how we are to, in the context, see things, how we are to address our thinking, how heavenly citizens are to think. And so we're going to see today what we are to be thinking about. Again, turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verse 8. Now, I want to read up to it what I've just talked about. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And now our passage. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. That's what we're going to look at today, and it's a command. We're going to look at the first part of verse 8. But notice verse 9, because it's connected. I want to read this. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things, or do, literally, these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Tremendous, tremendous promise. Tremendous promise. So, tremendous passage. So, with that in mind, what are we to be thinking about? What are we to be thinking about? Again, let's take a look at our passage today. Verse 8, finally, brethren. Now, he begins this passage saying finally. Now, in Greek, this is a word we've seen before. It actually doesn't mean the last thing. It says, I've got more things to say as to the rest of what I need to say. And he says, brethren, finally, brethren. As we saw earlier, these Philippians, they are brothers and sisters in Christ. They are believers. What I share to you today is to believers in Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you can be, because God is gracious. And he has revealed that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can be saved. And then for those who are saved, who have the Spirit of God and the ability to trust God, he now shows us what we should be doing, where we should be thinking, what our minds should be at. Finally, brethren, those are true believers, children of God, finally. And notice what he says. He says here, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. Notice these whatevers. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. This command is for believers. If you're not a believer, you can't do it. You'll sit here being frustrated. It's for believers. Christ enables us for every command. He gives us the power to do them. If we're willing, it's all on the will. If I'm willing to do it, he enables you to do it. You see, now what's interesting, I want to share the structure of this passage. It's important before we look at it in depth. First of all, there are two commands in verses 8 and 9. That's what it is all centered around. The first one is at the end of 8. Let your mind dwell on these things. That's the first command. Then, in the middle of verse 9, practice these things. Those are the two commands that everything hangs on. And our first verse, which we're going to look at today, verse 8, we have a list of things. Whatever this, whatever this, whatever this. We have six things. Whatever those things. He says, then let your mind dwell on these things. Those six things he has just said. That's the structure of the passage. That's the structure. And so here we have a command. Finally, brethren, and as we're going to look at today, we're going to look at the first foundational one, whatever is true. And next week we'll see all the rest of them. Whatever is true. He says, you could say it this way, whatever is true, let your mind dwell on this. Whatever is honorable, let your mind dwell on this. You could see it that way. Now this phrase translated, let your mind dwell, is actually one word in Greek. The word is logizomai. And what does that mean? It basically means something to the effect that we are to consider something. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And as I mentioned before, it doesn't take long to realize that the Christian life is played out in the mind. You see that what we think determines what we do. What we think determines what we do. If my mind is thinking rotten things, guess what? Pretty soon I'm going to be doing rotten things. If my mind is worrying, I'm going to pretty soon be dishonoring the Lord in the midst of my behavior, not trusting him, right? If my mind is thinking the right things, God will manifest that in our lives. You see, if you have real faith, it's going to work out in your actions, you see? And if your lack of faith, it's going to work out in your actions also. So then, we see that. And I actually turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 5, because we see in this passage that basically Paul makes the case that where your mind is at all the time, now sometimes our minds go over the place, but where you are, if this is the way you are from start to finish, this is who you are. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, he says, for those who are according to the flesh, now in context, that's non-believers, set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. You see, if you don't know Christ, you don't submit yourself to him and his word. You're not even able to do so. You see, it's hostile. However, if you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if you've been saved and you have God's Spirit in you, you are not in the flesh. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now we know as believers we're tempted day in, day out to think the way we used to think before we came to faith. And guess what? If we don't actively do something, we will be conformed to the way we used to be. If I don't actively make attempt to change my thinking by allowing His Word to transform me, I will be conformed to the way I was before I was saved. And some of you may have truly come to faith, but you have not been renewing your mind and you are conformed to the world. You're acting like you used to be before you were saved. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. When we change our hearts, our minds, and we adjust it to what God has said, we take our circumstances and apply God's word to it and apply a relationship with Him to that, we're going to act differently. We're going to act differently. In the end of verse 8 in Philippians chapter 4, it says, let your mind dwell on these things. Now, I've alluded to this word translated, let your mind dwell. Lagidzomai, interesting word. Sometimes the Greek words have funny sounds to them, right? Lagidzomai. It basically means thinking according to logical rules. It was an accounting term, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. It's logic, thinking according to logical rules. It means take into account, keep a mental record, reckon or consider. Think of something carefully. One lexicon says it this way. It speaks of a deliberate and prolonged contemplation, as if one was weighing a mathematical problem. It speaks of deliberate, long contemplation. I can have thoughts that go in and out, right, all day long. But when I think about something very carefully, that's what this is talking about. Lagidzomai. Let your mind dwell on these things. And it is in an imperative mood. What does that mean? It means it's not a suggestion. God to believers is saying this is a command. If you name the name of Christ, if you say, I am a Christian, you name the name of Christ, then God is commanding you and I to do this. And if we don't do it, we are disobedient. And we will suffer the consequences. And if you are a believer, God's a good God. He'll spank us just like a good father so that we will start obeying, right? So we have here, let your mind dwell on these things. It's also in a present tense, which speaks of continual action. Continually, habitually think this way.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, in the moments that we have left in today's broadcast, give us some ways that we can begin to start thinking biblically.
Well, Dave, the most important first step to think biblically is getting into God's Word and getting God's Word into you. True believers can and are commanded to have renewed minds, minds that are not conformed to this world, but transformed by His life-changing word. We need to be absorbed in God's word, meditating on it day and night, as the psalmist would say, allowing God through His word to speak to us and direct us by the power of His Spirit in our everyday thinking and actions. Just sitting down to skim over a few pages of scripture each day will get you into God's word, but it's unlikely that that will affect your thinking. You know, in order to have God's word dwelling richly in your heart, you need to be in it, meditating on it day and night, whether it's through reading or listening to sermons or biblical teaching on the radio or memorizing it. When you just absorb yourself in the word of God, you'll find that your thinking is transformed. God will convict you. He will correct you. He will train you on a regular basis as you walk through this temporal life on earth. It's exactly what we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The transformed mind by the word of God will produce the life of Christ in the true believer.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question: has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.